भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय So I'll just read the verse, but you can repeat after me each line. Pashya pashyanti me ruchiranyam basanta. Prasanna Vaktraruna Lochanani Rupani Divyani Vara Pradani Sakam Bachan Sprihani Yambadanti Pashyanti Si Te Ve Me Mai Ruchirani Beautiful Amba O Mother, Santa, Devotees, Prasanna, Smiling, Vatra, Face, Aruna, Like the Morning Sun, Lochanani, Eyes, Rupani, Forms, Divyani, Transcendental, Varapradani, Benevolent, Sakam, with me, Vacham, words, Sprihaniyam, favorable, Padanti, They speak. Translation. O my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form. Now this is Krishna speaking in the form of Kapiladeva. O my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form. With eyes like the rising morning sun. They like to see my various transcendental forms, which are all benevolent, and they also talk favorably with me. Please repeat. O my mother,
my devotees
always see the smiling face of my form, with eyes like the rising morning sun. They like to see my various transcendental forms, which are all benevolent, and they also talk favorably with me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Mayavadi impersonalists and atheists accept the forms of the deities in the temple of the Lord as idols. But devotees do not worship idols. An idol means something that is not God, which is accepted as God. Like in the Bible, there's the story of worshiping the golden calf. That was an idol. And there's so many pagan processes in which they worship idols. But devotees do not worship idols. In other words, you don't worship something as God, which is not God. But we worship forms as God, which are God. They are fashioned according to the rules and regulations in the scriptures, in accordance with descriptions of the Lord. Now, here we have deities of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra on the right, and they have smiling forms and big eyes. And those forms, there are various historical accounts of how those forms came to be the way they are. One account is that, of course, this requires some background, which not all of you will have, but still. When Krishna appeared on earth, he and his brother Balaram enjoyed their childhood pastimes or leela in Vrindavan. And later, when they were older, they went to the city of Dwarka. But in Dwarka, Krishna would always be remembering his devotees in Vrindavan, because the love of the devotees in Vrindavan for Krishna is completely pure and without any conception of his opulence or grandeur. Now, for us, conditioned souls, it's very important to be fully conscious of the Lord's opulence and grandeur, his power and his all-pervading nature. But there is a level of love in which the devotees forget that Krishna is God. And in that ecstatic love, they are able to enter into very intimate personal relationships with Krishna. Basically, according to Shastra, there are five relationships one can have. One is, you could say, passive adoration. Then higher than that is active service. And then higher than that, higher means more intimate, is friendship. You can actually become a friend of God. And in friendship, there's a sense of equality. Like here, these cowherd boys are Krishna's friends. So in order to enjoy that type of intimacy, they have to forget he's God. If they were aware that he was God, they would not be able to treat him as an equal, as a friend. And then even beyond that is a parental relationship where the devotee feels that Krishna is his or her son and dependent on that parental care. And then the most exalted is the conjugal relationship, Madhurya Ras. So Lord Jagannath, so after Krishna left Vrindavan, where he was playing as a cowherd boy, and went to Dwarka, where he was playing as a royal prince, he would often remember those devotees in Vrindavan who had such ecstatic love for him that they didn't love him because he was God. There's no condition, okay, because he's God, I love him. They just loved him spontaneously and naturally. Whereas in Dwarka, there is an element of awe and reverence, which is not present in Vrindavan. So the residents of Dwarka were wondering, what is this mystery of Vrindavan? Why does Krishna, in the middle of the night, he'll be chanting the names of the residents of Vrindavan in their presence? And so they thought that there's one person who was with Krishna in Vrindavan who is now in Dwarka. So we will ask her. And her name was Rohini. And she was the wife, so she was from that royal family of Dwarka, but due to circumstances, she had taken shelter in Vrindavan. So she was privy to all of those beautiful, intimate pastimes of Krishna with his devotees in Vrindavan. So the residents of Dwarka, they wanted to hear, what is this special place called Vrindavan? Who are these special devotees? So they all gathered in a hall, but they didn't want to be interrupted. So they posted a doorkeeper to make sure no one would come in and disturb them. And that doorkeeper is Subhadra. She's the middle figure of Jagannath and Baladev. So she was guarding the door, but she also wanted to hear. So she kept her ear to the door. And while she was listening, she developed various ecstatic symptoms. These symptoms can be experienced by a person on the transcendental platform. Although we can have some sense of those ecstatic symptoms in the urge to dance, in kirtan. And sometimes we also cry. Sometimes our hairs stand on end. We can experience those. But Subhadra's experience was extreme. And so her eyes dilated, and she was, listening and smiling. And one of the ecstatic symptoms is that one's limbs contract. So her limbs contracted. So that's why she looks the way she does. So At that time, Krishna and Balaram came down the hallway, and they saw Subhadra in that ecstatic feature with her ear to the door. So they also wanted to hear. And hearing about those beautiful leelas or pastimes in Vrindavan, they also became ecstatic. And they exhibited those symptoms, and their eyes became dilated and their limbs went into their body. And that's how they came to look the way they do. So this is actually an eternal form. But there's another pastime in which that form became manifest in wood. And that took place thousands of years ago. And can't really tell the whole story, but basically an artist or an artisan named Vishwakarma, he's the architect of the demigods, he was commissioned to carve the forms of Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra. And he made a condition that he would work behind closed doors and no one should interrupt him. And if anyone interrupted him, he would immediately leave. So he was, chiseling at the wood, and so some devotees were eager. They wanted to know what was happening. And at a certain point, they didn't hear any sounds from inside. So they opened the door, which was against the agreement, or half of the agreement. And then immediately, Vishwakarma disappeared. And the three incomplete forms that he was carving remained. And those incomplete forms are Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. He didn't finish them as, you know, natural figures with their full arms and legs and so on. So, now this festival of Rath Yatra takes place in, so those deities, those supposedly incompletely fashioned deities were installed in Jagannath Puri in India, and every year there's a huge festival of Rath Yatra in which Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra are taken in a procession on three huge chariots. And millions of people, literally millions of people, attend that festival. And when Krishna, as in his form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was present on earth, he spent his later years in Jagannath Puri, and he would always observe the Rath Yatra festival. And his mood of experiencing the Rath Yatra festival is also relates to another one of Krishna's pastimes. And I hope when we get closer to the festival time, we can discuss more of those, but we don't have time now. But he did observe the Rath Yatra festival. But in essence, his mood was of Radharani when she met Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra at holy place called Kurukshetra. There was an eclipse, and it was the, you know, tradition or system that devotees would go to Kurukshetra at the time of the eclipse and give charity and take bath and perform all the other functions recommended for the eclipse. So all the residents of Vrindavan, the greatest lovers of Krishna, had been separated from him from the time he left Vrindavan to go to Mathura and then Dwarka when he was a youth. And throughout that whole period of separation, the residents of Vrindavan were, of course, even in Krishna's presence, they were absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. And after his departure, their thoughts of him intensified. But at the time of the eclipse, they heard that, oh, Krishna is going to Kurukshetra. So they thought, we'll also go to Kurukshetra and see our beloved Krishna. So they went, and during the Ratha Yatra, Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Srimati Radharani when she met Krishna at Kurukshetra. And what was her mood? Her mood was exemplified in a verse that Lord Chaitanya would recite at the Ratha Yatra in a slightly different form. And then Rupa Goswami, he understood what Lord Chaitanya's mood was, and he composed another verse that really expressed that mood. But the basic idea is, I'm the same Radharani, and you're the same Krishna. But instead of meeting in Vrindavan, which is filled with the chirping of birds and, you know, Govardhan Hill and the Jamuna River, and where you're dressed as a cowherd boy with a peacock feather in your hair and playing on your flute. Here you're dressed up as a royal prince, and instead of cows and peacocks, there's elephants and horses, and instead of your cowherd boyfriends and cows, there's all these soldiers and secretaries. So she was saying, I'm the same Radharani and you're the same Krishna, but I cannot experience the same ecstasy here in Kurukshetra as I did in Vrindavan. So please come back to Vrindavan. And during the Ratha Yatra festival, Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Radharani, like pulling the chariot, dragging Krishna back to Vrindavan. So these are all very, transcendental sentiments. As Srila Prabhupada said in one Ratha Yatra speech in Trafalgar Square in London, that it is a very feeling festival for the devotees. So this is, you could say, the internal understanding of Ratha Yatra. But we are going to be bringing Ratha Yatra into downtown Dallas. I mean, I'm saying downtown, but a central location in Dallas. And the people there won't know this history. I mean, many of them, they will have no idea of this history. But they will receive tremendous benefit. That is said that people are so fallen that they won't go to the temple to see God, so God comes out of the temple to bless them. And that is Rathiatra. And it is said that if one just sees the form of Lord Jagannath on his chariot in the Rathiatra and claps his hands in bliss, he will never, or she will never, have to take birth again. So this is a very strong statement. Jai Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. Shri Radha Kala Chandri Ki Jai. Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So, now, definitely, if one sees Lord Jagannath and chants and dances in ecstasy, or even without chanting and dancing in it, just sees the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath and appreciates the form of Lord Jagannath, he or she is liberated at that time. But the problem is that if the person doesn't maintain that consciousness, Krishna consciousness, then the person will fall down from that liberated position. But still, the Shastra says if one participates in the Rathiatra, and that one will be liberated. And so devotees ask Srila Prabhupada, how is that possible? All these ordinary people, they come to the festival, they see Lord Jagannath, and then they go back to their sinful activities, illicit activities, vicious activities. And Srila Prabhupada explained, and I had heard this before as a psychology student, that at the time of death, all of one's memories from one's lifetime pass through one's mind very quickly. It's like a motion picture going at high speed. And Srila Prabhupada said that at the time of death, when the person's memories of from his whole lifetime are speeding through his mind, when it comes to the Rathiatra, when he saw Lord Jagannath, at that moment, that like film of all of his life's experiences will freeze on the frame of him seeing Lord Jagannath, and so he'll die with that image of Lord Jagannath in his mind, and he'll be liberated. Jagannath Rathiatra Ki Jai. Jagannath Swami Ki Jai. So it's so for the devotees who are remembering the pastimes of Krishna and the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's a very feeling festival. And even for new people who are not familiar with Lord Jagannath at all, it's a wonderful opportunity for them to get divine mercy. But during the festival, and of course leading up to the festival, there will be many activities to be performed to organize the festival and execute it. And so we should, those of us who are able to do some service, or who are assigned to do some service, should do that service very, very expertly. Although someone assigned to some service might feel, oh, you know, I could be enjoying more happiness if I was participating in the festival more. But actually, by performing service to organize the festival and execute it, you're helping so many other people to get Lord Jagannath's mercy. And that's a higher service or a better service. So if we have some service that takes us away from what we consider to be some of the more direct experience of Ratha Yatra, we should remember that this is a better service to Lord Jagannath, to bring people to him and let them receive his mercy. And by doing that, we also get more mercy from Lord Jagannath. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Jagannath.